Welcome into the latest edition of the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. This is Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com, along with Tom Silverstein and Olivia Reiner. Joining me from the Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome.
Tell them where we are.
We are in a side hallway of the Indianapolis Convention Center, around the corner from from the media workroom. Had to find quiet and an outlet.
Yes, that's exactly.
The most important thing.
We're across from room 206. That's the most important thing.
And may I add, the Convention Center is big, beautiful, clean, but this carpet has got to be the ugliest carpet I've ever seen in my life.
It's amazing. Yeah. I don't know who picked that out. It makes me dizzy.
Yes, especially if you have to traverse it often, many miles worth during a week of combine interviews.
I put in almost 14,000 steps yesterday.
Wow.
But that was, of course, included what we did last night, which we won't speak of, the places we would go.
Right. Yes, we did. Although if you follow myself on Snapchat, you might see some of those steps out and about.
Oh, really?
No faces.
Really?
Faces to protect the guilty. But so we're here, a day after meeting with Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, new head coach Matt LaFleur. They did the podium, which maybe you all saw at PackersNews.com with Olivia's fine work there. But really, I think the most interesting materials out of that was an hour-long sit-down with both at lunch, a real first get-to-know-you session with the new head coach, to be quite honest. Up until this week, it's been press conferences and a real brief kind of sit with everybody in Green Bay in early January. Yeah. So I'll start there with you both of maybe impressions of that hour plus that we're able to sit with him and kind of get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, it was vastly different from our impression of him at the press conferences that, I mean, I'm sure maybe even you guys have seen too online on our website, on the Packers website. Just sort of a different energy, and he was much more willing to talk in detail about anything. He gave many more specifics than I think he's ever given on the podium about his offense, not going into too much detail, but going into enough detail to help us understand what he's aiming to do with the Packers this upcoming season. So I appreciated it. It made him seem a little less robotic, a little less nervous. It was good to just see him as a normal person talking to a smaller group of people.
Yeah, so the setting was, for the listeners, the Packers set it up so that we went to a restaurant and there was a table and about, maybe 10 of us, 10 reporters, sat around, and Gutekunst and LaFleur were on one end, and we all surrounded the table and just fired away with questions. And I agree, I hadn't really been around LaFleur. I didn't go to that private session right after he got hired, and only seen from a press conference, and he definitely is very nervous in the press conference setting. But I thought he was way more relaxed here and more willing to talk a little bit more about his vision. But one of the things he's handcuffed by is he hasn't even talked to his team yet. So there's like some things he can tell us, but he still has to tell his team about a lot of the things that they're going to be doing. So I'm glad they set that up for us as a chance to get to know the guy. As I won't mention his name, NFC North reporter commented to me this morning. He said, "I saw your coach walk through the hallway." He said, "Man, I can't believe how young he looks." And he's like, "When does he hit puberty?"
Oh.
He is a young-looking guy for 39, I mean, he's not Sean McVay young-looking,
right,
but he is a pretty young-looking guy.
Yeah, and well, you mentioned the not meeting the team, and I think when all this happens and there's all this excitement about the draft and prospects and new coaches and relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Well, really, he can't. He's not allowed to do any of that until April.
Right.
I think they're only allowed to do an introductory text or call of on a personal level, like, hey, I'm the new coach, nice to meet you, here's my number.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't talk football or any of that until the voluntary workouts begin in early April. So it is a unique position for him to be in, where to a degree they've probably seen us a little bit more than maybe, which it hasn't been much. But I mean, it's you know, if the guys are in the facility, they can kind of run into one another. But
well, maybe he has his playbook on a PDF file and he accidentally emailed it to Aaron Rodgers. Oh, that was I can't take that back. I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, it's you know, I think my biggest takeaway, as you guys both mentioned, a little more firm with some of the things we've written about at PackersNews.com. We've talked about it in some videos with some things, what he wants receivers and tight ends to do, how he expects to make Aaron Rodgers a little, and not just Aaron Rodgers, but everyone else who might be a veteran a little uncomfortable, do some different things. I thought, you know, we didn't get into this really in the analysis video or Facebook Live. I don't know if you guys can speak to this. I was curious where he said, look, this offense doesn't have a whole lot of audibles. We don't really change much. And that was a big part of, and has been a big part of Aaron Rodgers' game for however long with Mike McCarthy. So that was, I don't know, what were your first impressions of that, or as you were able to digest it overnight, of how to hear that and maybe how that might work the quarterback going forward?
I think we've talked about similar themes of, will Matt LaFleur be able to tell Aaron Rodgers what to do? And that's yet to be seen, but Spoon, you talked about this a little bit. I'm not sure if it was during our Facebook Live. It might have been during our Facebook Live, or maybe it was just sort of as we were chatting.
I don't know. We've done so many things.
We spent a lot of time together the last 24 hours. But you talked about how Matt LaFleur has positioned this as a partnership with Aaron Rodgers, and less as a dictatorship, which is perhaps what it should be, at least to start out.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a matter of, will Matt be able to change Aaron's habits, and will Aaron respect him enough to be willing to change those habits?
Yes.
It sounds like he will have some options at the line of scrimmage, too. He's like, can is the term he used.
Yeah.
Which I...
And then he pounds both fists up to his helmet, which is the signal he was saying. He kept doing that, can, you know, basically it's... You have two plays. You have one you can run or one you can change to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rodgers, as I recall, he could call up audibles from 5 years ago. You know, at least when he was playing with Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams, you know, things they had worked on, he's mentioned that, oh, yeah, I called an audible that we haven't used for 3 years, you know, and stuff like that. And so I think he had a lot of freedom. And this might be a little bit different. How he responds to that, I don't know. But I do know that LaFleur's got to be adamant about keeping the fundamentals of his offense in place and not changing that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to kind of, in terms of him and maybe what we're doing here in Indianapolis, which is meeting prospects and whatnot, they like the receiver group. You know, Jimmy Graham sounds like he'll be back. That was a little bit of news from Brian Gutekunst talking about he expects to see Graham be more productive in 19. But here, offensive linemen, athletic guards, and perhaps a different right tackle, who knows, that seemed to be a forefront. I mean, LaFleur kind of liked his skill players to a degree, like Dan Vitale at fullback maybe as an option, but it seemed like, okay, it's Bakhtiari, it's Lindsley. Okay, where else can they go? And that seemed to be, and I would imagine that's a big focus here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want offensive linemen who get out of their stance quickly, who can move. I think he talked about exploding into, you know, into the defender and being able to stretch the field, which means, you know, it might be okay if you're 335 pounds, but you better be able to move. You can't be one of those stationary phone booth guys. And so I think that he kind of gave us a glimpse of what they're looking for on the offensive line.
Yeah, it's, so obviously we got to sit with Matt, but Brian Gutekunst is part of it, and you kind of forget to a degree year two for him. Right, so a year ago this time it was taken over from Ted Thompson. Right, mm-hmm. What is his style? What kind of stamp is he going to put on this team? And I guess to spin it forward to this is his time now with the what do we want? I always call it silos of power for some reason. You know, there's Gutekunst and LaFleur who go to Murphy, right?
Like and Russ Ball.
And Russ Ball. Yeah. I mean, so this is Gutekunst's time. This is his time right. And his staff's. Time to shine, if you will, and he said as much, Olivia, and I think an interesting nugget, aside from Jimmy Graham, was him saying, we don't have to cut Nick Perry to save cap room, so if we want to pay him, we can. He feels they have enough money and to hit free agency like they did a year ago, mm-hmm. if they want to.
Do you buy that?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think last year was a splash in the or a flash in the pan. I think if they feel someone's out there, they'll target that person and make that move.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there could be a Jimmy Graham type signing, which is, you know, a veteran guy who might cost a little bit of money to lure him in, but it's not going to be. You know, I mean, if they decide they want to go for Le'Veon Bell and they have to pay him, then Jimmy Graham's gone, then, you know, they're not re-signing Clay Matthews, they're, you know, definitely not re-signing Randall Cobb, Nick Perry's gone. It really, I think the plan going in is we'll talk about every guy that's available that interests us and then see where the money goes.
Yeah. What were your feelings, Olivia, on the Randall Cobb, Clay Matthews questions, because it came up on the national media. They asked mm-hmm. the two highest profile Packers free agents to be, and we asked about it again, and he seemed...
He didn't really give an answer.
Yeah. Like, yeah non-committal
well,
at best.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He made it seem like they're still talking about it.
Right.
He didn't straight out just say, no, they're gone.
But also, he also didn't say, this is two guys we must have back.
Right. Right.
Which,
and as we mentioned, I believe in our analysis video, which should be up, it is up on PackersNews.com. Spoon, you spoke about
promo.
This too.
Yeah.
You spoke about this, and you read between the lines very well. Well,
thanks.
Assuming we'll see how that works.
Yeah,
out.
Right.
You like
yeah.
To read between
sometimes
the lines.
I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong.
Yeah, because in the past, when they want a guy. Generally, they'd say they want the guy. I mean, they came out and they said he wanted Jimmy Graham.
Yeah,
right.
So I guess they couldn't say the same about Clay Matthews, about Randall Cobb.
Right. Typically, around this time, you usually have a free agent, and my quickly deteriorating memory is affecting me here. But I'm thinking of someone during the off season. Just go back to like a Sam Shields, who they were all through this period after the season. They're like, yes, we want to re-sign Sam Shields. Re-signing him is a priority, you know. And of course, it didn't get done until the last second. But they said it was a priority, and they were public about it. And they weren't public. They didn't say anything like that about Matthews, about Cobb. Who else on that list is really a must sign? You know, Muhammad Wilkerson is hurt. He's going to, at best, be a minimum wage guy because his injury was so significant. Lance Kendricks is on that list.
Mercedes Lewis. Byron Bell.
Yeah, these are guys, you know, you're not lining up to re-sign. So I think Clay Matthews is the one to watch. You know, what's his market? And there's probably a pride factor there too, which is let's say he doesn't get that much and the Packers offer him the same as another team, he might just take the other teams because it's a matter of pride. Like, I'm not going back to the organization that I, you know, if they don't value me more than that, yeah, I'll just start somewhere new. And so that's going to be really interesting to watch. Yeah. I think he's a guy they should re-sign. I really do. I think he's a good, good player. He's not a great player anymore. He's not an impact player, but you want him on field. He's a legitimate starter in the NFL and can offer some pressure. So that one's going to be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's especially Nick Perry's owed $5 million about the third day of the league year.
Yeah.
If you're left with Kyler Fackrell and Reggie Gilbert, and I mean, you almost put yourself in a pass rush outside linebacker box of your own making, if depending where you go there, because it's like you have to, you know, I'm sure draft at 12. I mean, Brian Gutekunst said he feels there's going to be some major talent in that front seven available, but you know, that's in April.
Yeah.
Free agency comes later or first.
Well, you're paying $4.8 million with Nick Perry to buy a year,
basically,
to see whether you can get something out of him. I'd have to go back and look at what his cap number is. I can't remember what it is. But really, that to me, that just comes down to, do you believe he can stay healthy? And I mean, that's the decision they're going to have to make.
Right. Well, you know, we are here at the Combine. I'm sure, Peck, what about prospect A, tight end B,
yeah,
D lineman C? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but to me, this is always a, they're going to speak to, they get 60 formal interviews,
mm-hmm,
right?
Is it 60 or 30?
60.
It's 60.
Mm-hmm. 60.
And then they can stop guys after those and have another however many informals. So, I mean, they're going to talk to 100-plus players. So you're going to hear this during the week. Oh, you know, prospect A, did you talk to the Packers?
Yeah,
I met with them. Well, they meet with a lot. So
big
it,
deal.
It,
yeah.
What does that mean?
Right. So, I mean, but I do think their needs are pretty evident, whether it be edge rush, linebacker, safety, offensive line, perhaps tight end, especially those who are willing to block in an outside zone scheme. Yeah. The Iowa guys fit that mold.
Yeah. Well, when we do our finale podcast,
yeah,
we can talk a little bit about who the candidates are that they might draft,
right,
at 12 and at 30. We'll know a little bit more. Right now, we're going to get a chance to meet all the offensive linemen, talk to those guys if we want. And, you know, I'm interested in talking to the two Wisconsin guys, Dieter and Ben Shaw. You know, Dieter is definitely a guy who fits what they do. He's a big guy with big hands and decent speed. That's a guy I'm sure they'll have, you know, at least some consideration with. But there's a whole bunch of,
right,
linemen in this draft that aren't too bad, you know?
Yeah, so it'll be – so I didn't want to ignore it, you know, at least in this early podcast here from the Combine.
Yeah.
But really at this early part of the week, because we had a chance to speak to the head coach and the general manager, you're kind of cleaning up a lot of the current roster free agency stuff. And you're right, Tom, I think later in the week we'll be able to at least give you, the listener, a little deeper look into – the actual prospects here and guys to speak about.
I think one thing that we should mention, and Gutekunst acknowledged it or confirmed it, is that this is one of the best drafts for defensive linemen,
yeah,
in a long, long time. It's a good year for the Packers to have a number 12 pick, and it's a need, you know, whether it be an edge rusher or a defensive lineman. They could add a defensive lineman, no problem, even with Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, Montrevious Adams, Tyler Lancaster, Dean Lowry. I mean, they have some depth there, but shoot, you know, you can't,
yeah,
have too many of those guys.
No, not
those
at all.
Big guys who can move and rush the passer a little bit. And so I'm really eager to talk to some of those guys and see where things stand and watch their testing numbers and things,
right,
like that.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, and I guess, you know, as we conclude this sort of first first run through, I'll leave it at this. We set the scene here in this weird hallway and whatnot. I mean, Olivia, this is your first combine. Mm-hmm. This is my fourth. Tom?
I don't even know.
You don't have to answer.
Too many.
I don't even know.
Right.
You know, it's sort of been off and on for me.
Right.
So, honest to God, I can't remember.
So I guess, Olivia, first impressions of, let's take the listener inside. What is this like? Because they see it on TV. It's a slick production. That is the one difference. Tom was here at a time when, you know, media guys, there are about 20 of them hanging out in a hallway.
Yeah, they're hardcore draft guys,
right.
Draftnik guys.
It's a little different now, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It's not what I thought it was going to be. At first, coming into this, I was like, oh, the combine, like, these guys doing these exercises that are not very relative to football and to their performance and to maybe even their draft stock, you could argue in a lot of ways. You know, it's a good place to come network and come meet people, but it is that to the nth degree. It's just, it is that times a million. It's a lot of people. It's wow. Like the Disney World of the grand convention of right. All of the NFL. You feel like everyone's in one place at one time and you just see so many faces.
Right.
So it's cool. It's a little exhausting, but we did just have the most intense day yesterday.
Right.
So I'm running on fumes a little bit.
Yeah.
But very cool.
And from what I hear, the night scene is pretty cool too.
It could be, yeah.
You guys probably know a little bit more about that than I do. But it is, you really, it's like a different animal. You know, you have all these coaches, all these scouts, all downtown Indianapolis, and there's, what, 6-7 spots
yeah.
that they go to, and the reporters are all following them, trying
right.
to make contact with guys and you know, make new contacts. And it's really an interesting thing to watch as... You know, you just see the schmoozing and the politicking, and then
yeah.
and then somewhere where we don't even know, agents
right, that's
and
exactly.
negotiators. And I walked in to the bar with Olivia at the JW, and John Schneider of the Seahawks and Pete Carroll were sitting there with Tom Condon, the highest powered agent in the NFL, you know, and I'm like, okay, what are they talking about, Russell Wilson, or, you know, I don't know, I don't even know who Russell Wilson's agent
right.
is, but you know what, I mean, that's just the
right.
kind of thing you see where, you know, then you go by that place that you guys stopped in, and I walked by, and there's Jerry Jones's bus
right.
parked outside with the
right.
blinkers
right.
going, and this bar is just packed, you know,
right.
and he must have been in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know.
So it is a very it's interesting in that way. So yes, you're right. Networking, I think, Olivia, you referenced even your Olympic experience to
mm-hmm.
a degree of just the sheer massive humanity. And yeah, you're right. I think a lot of, and Brian Gutekunst even acknowledged to a degree that there's no formal negotiations, but by the end of the week you have a good idea of who's gonna make what. How much money are you going to have
yeah.
to sign a guy?
Right.
So all of that is sort of done in these, and quite literally either out in the open at a bar at a restaurant, or, you know, they go upstairs or find some strange hallway.
Yeah,
the
lobby
center.
Of the hotel.
Exactly.
You know, they don't always hide it. Some guys I've heard they just have a hotel room and the agents
yeah.
come in and, you know, they talk to them about
right.
it. You know, come in and talk about their client.
Right, yeah, and you know, Matt LaFleur even mentioned, he laughed, he said up until this point he would just be able to walk scot-free here and there, and now there's the autograph hounds who know him right away, and he finds that to be the strangest thing, but it's like, well, no.
yeah,
that's...
yeah. Yeah, I've run into, so I ran into a pair of former Packers quarterbacks coaches. I ran into Tom Clements, who's back in the league with Arizona, longtime McCarthy quarterbacks coach. And then I ran into Daryl Bevel, a former Badgers quarterback, Packers quarterbacks coach, Minnesota quarterbacks coach, Seattle offensive coordinator, and now he's with Detroit.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know who you're going to run into.
Right, exactly. And thank you for running into us here at the JS Online and PackersNews.com podcast. Look at that. Exactly.
Yeah.
We appreciate that very much. Make sure to visit PackersNews.com. Olivia takes you through all of these combine drills. You can check out her fantastic three cone shuttle and vertical jump. No, it is a great video. It actually gives you a really good insight into how specific these guys get in terms of training for these events and why you end up hearing general managers and coaches talk about tape doesn't lie, interviews mean a lot because these drills are prepared that way. Olivia does a great job breaking it down. Of course, go to download the app. It's a free app. Or actually subscribe to PackersNews.com as well. Mm-hmm. And you'll get all of your Packers content the rest of this week. And we will speak to you in a few days. Thanks a lot, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Great. 20.